all sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Wednesday version of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and let's roll the usual stuff out of the way. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. I know everybody jokes that we still have a Hotmail account, but it was the one we originally started with this so many years ago, and we've just kept it. So there you go. Oh, if that stuff's not good enough for you, get on over to sportstimeradio.com now, since it is Wednesday. The new blog went up over there this morning, so get on over there, check it out, leave your comments, let us know what you think. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also find me on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. And as you know, when I'm starting off by myself, I always like to spell that for you. It's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E. So there you go. That's how we kind of roll along, right? But, well, let's jump right into it. We had a little, I guess what we would call a little bit of excitement in the Yankees-Rays game last night. I was trying to figure out what inning it was, but I'm not quite sure. I'm guessing since Aroldis Chapman was involved, it was the ninth, but maybe not. Chapman, launched what clocked in as 101-mile-an-hour fastball, pretty much directly over the head of Tampa Bay player Michael, Brose. I've never quite heard it pronounced, so that's what I'm going with. Warnings were handed out, so all that other fun stuff. But, after Chapman ended up striking him out, and, as Brose was walking back towards the visitor's dugout, they ended up exchanging some words. The dugout's emptied, and, luckily nothing else happened. It was kind of almost like a gathering around home plate, so, it wasn't too bad. Now, earlier in the game, it was actually in the very first inning, Masahiro Tanaka, who made the start for the Yankees, obviously, hit Joey Wendell. So, that was kind of here or there because, one of the things Tanaka is kind of known for is his great control. So that was a little fishy. Now, both managers had a lot to say on this. Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, called it absolutely ridiculous. He went on to say that it was mishandled by the Yankees, certainly the pitcher on the mound, and was mishandled by the umpires. Then he went on to say somebody has to be accountable, and he worded it just like that. The last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys who throw 98, period. Now, after Aaron Boone was made aware of what Cash said, his counter was, a pretty scary comment. I don't think that's right at all, but I'm not going to get into it right now. In the end, both managers have been suspended for one game and each fined an undisclosed amount, while Aroldis Chapman got three games. Now, Chapman is just back from, I don't remember if he was sick or injured or what it was, but he's just back. That was actually his first save of the year last night. Now, he is appealing, so the suspension will probably end up being reduced, but anytime you get these guys out there, like Chapman, who throws as hard as he does, it's it's frightening when they come inside or over your head. And, you know, this wasn't like I'm wild learning how to control my pitches type of stuff that you might see out of a very young Randy Johnson as he was coming to grips with, you know, his control. This was just inches, you know, above the batter's head. I don't want to see anybody take 101 in the noggin. You know, that kind of stuff is career ending. And that's, you know, that's the last thing you want to see happen to anybody, you know, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, however you look at the team, you know, that's just not right. And, you know, I'll fully defend, you know, a pitcher's right to throw inside. And occasionally, you know, you do have to hit somebody. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts or ways about it. Every now and then you gotta drill a guy. Not in the head, not above the shoulders, none of that garbage. You know, you hit the guy in the rear end. That's, you know, let him take it right off the buttocks, where, you know, he can probably deal with it a little better, and it's not a gigantic fiasco like this, and your players can stay on the bench. And yeah, that's, you know, kind of how it's been done in baseball through the years. And I feel Chapman really broke that protocol last night, and he deserved 3 games, if not more. You know, and again, these suspensions always seem to come down on appeal. You know, the managers can't appeal because they don't have a player. They don't have a union to represent them. But we'll see what they end up doing with Chapman, and he is appealing it, so he is available. I didn't even look. Do the Yankees play it? Do they play again tonight? I'm probably sure they do. Oh yeah, they do. That's right. I saw Charlie Morton is back off the injured list. So yeah, it's Charlie Morton and Jordan Montgomery making the starts there. So we'll see if anything lights up tonight, but I kind of doubt it's going to. You know, we'll just have to see. And I don't think the game is on anywhere either, so Dan can't even watch. Well, Dan can watch it. He just has to stream it. So that's how it goes. Right, Dan?
Yeah, for what?
The Yankees Rays.
No, I could stream it. I could, that's still watching.
Right.
The same thing.
Yeah.
I just can't watch the Cubs.
Right. Well, who wants to watch the Cubs? So, you know, that's terrible. You know, we do actually have a couple games going on right now. The Giants are ahead of the Rockies 6-4 in the bottom of the sixth, and the Mets are up on the Orioles 3-2. That game's in the top of the fifth. So you're all caught up there. I have to double check here and see. No, well, you know, like I know the MLB Network has a game because they always have a game, but the only game listed for television, well, it's not even really television tonight. It's the Mickey Mouse Network app. You can get the Padres at the Angels. So, you know, and I know currently the Giants and the Rockies are on MLB Network, but, you know, there's not a whole lot of television updates on the schedule. I'll probably have to start using a different one because that's weak. So, we shall see. So, all right, Dan. So I was just kind of cruising around, and I didn't, you know, read the entire article. I just caught the headline, and I thought this was kind of interesting because I believe, again, it may be somebody jumping the gun here on what they're talking about, but the debate today, Dan, is Fernando Tatis versus Mike Trout. Which player are you taking for the next decade if you've got to pick one? Who you got and why?
Fernando Tatis because he's younger. Simple age mathematics.
Yeah, but you know, he doesn't, you know, really have a track record, and he was hurt last year, and you know, it you know, I don't know if it's that simple, is it really?
Well, that and hope.
It's not
because
it's old.
The you know, the one thing that the only negative that comes with Mike Trout is, it doesn't matter who's put around him, because the team can't get to.
Yeah, no, this is just final. You. This is you picking the player to build your team around for the next 10 years. So you would be the one responsible for putting the team around him. So.
Yeah, well, let's see. He's already got, what, 8 years of service? About, what, 28, 29?
No, I don't think – is he quite that old? I didn't think he was – maybe he is. Maybe because I was looking earlier. How old does this say he is here? He is 20. He just turned 29 in August, so –
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Tatis doesn't have much of a resume, so to speak. But I think potential-wise, I'm going with him for the next 10.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, you know what you're going to get out of Trout.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his numbers are going to be what his numbers are. You know, and I mean, you know, obviously when Tatis played last year, he was really good. You know, the problem was he only played in 84 games. So, you know, we're talking about a guy who, you know, cause you know, even with this year, even if he plays every game this year, it's not even as many as last year. So, you know, you're kind of rushing this guy into a spotlight here where, you know, he doesn't have a resume. I mean, he doesn't have even a 100-game major league season out there yet. And, you know, I mean, I can understand it being that, you know, he's 21. He won't even turn 22 until January. So, you know, in reality, his better year should be ahead of him. But, you know, we've watched enough baseball to know that that's not always the case. So it's, you know, it makes it, you know, it makes it a little tougher call than, you know, than I think. I mean, do you, you know, you go with the young guy and, you know, hope that, you know, you made the right choice and he stays healthy and, you know, he can continue to put up the numbers he's doing? Or do you go with the guy where you know what you're going to get? And I mean, you're going to get an MVP caliber player, you know, every season. I mean, you know, even as he ages, you know, especially with the DH being so prevalent now, he can still give you those at bats and, you know, all that other kind of stuff you're going to need as the years go along. So I don't know. I guess it depends if you're a gambler or not, really, right?
Yeah, and you know, the only issue I'm having right now is I can't find the comparison on Baseball Reference where you're able to put two guys up against each other. But, you know, one of the things I do like, and I do think will stay consistent over the next, you know, 10 years, is his fielding. You know, he's a pretty solid defender. He's still, you know, on average, you know, 956. You know, so he's not making, that many errors. You know, he's slogging a lot of innings at shortstop. You know, definitely not as many yet. He's got, you know, two games at a DH this year. So, you know, you've got to imagine, you know, 29 through, you know, the last 3 years of his age, if you were to have him for 10 more years, would be where you'd see a lot more attempts for designated hitter. But I don't know. I think that's one of the positions that, you know, people tend to, they expect a power hitter out of it, you know, and I think as long as you've got a great opportunity to get on base. And well, here I'm going to talk about stuff that doesn't matter anymore. So I'm not even going to go further.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, you know, in reality, I mean, we're talking about Tatis. I mean, like I said, I mean, he's 21. So, you know, you're looking at a guy who, again, who by the time this 10-year time frame ends, really his skills shouldn't even be in decline yet. You know, by the time Trout gets to 39, you know, because that'll be the end of his 10-year time frame, you know, maybe they come down a little bit, but it's, you know, it's so tough to tell because you look at what a guy like Nelson Cruz is doing, and he's 41. And he's easily still one of the best power hitters in Major League Baseball and just, you know, continues to put up numbers. But, you know, you can also kind of turn it the other way and you look at a guy like Josh Donaldson who won an MVP and everybody thought, oh, okay, this is his career track. He's going to roll. We're on the Donaldson bandwagon, and I think he's been hurt every year and limited in playing. And I don't even know if he's played for the Twins this year, you know, after they made the big off-season signing. So, it's kind of hit and miss. You just really don't know, you know, that far down the line, because I'm sure if somebody would ask the question after Donaldson won the MVP, you taking Josh Donaldson or you taking Nelson Cruz, you know, probably 95% of the people would have taken Donaldson, and you know, they would have been wrong. You know, Cruz has been the more productive, healthier, and better player.
Yeah, and definitely not to take anything away from Trout or any outfielder to begin with, but, you know, the way their stats are accounted for, you know, you can't account for a short fly ball or a too far of a long fly ball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just like you can't account for in the infield a ball that's hit too high for a shortstop to grab. But I don't know. I just feel like there's – well, you know what I mean, where you got to jump. You know, not everyone's Ozzie Smith. So accounting, you know, accounting for that, I don't know. I like to secure up the infield. But, you know, you're right. I think the advantage with having Mike Trout, though, at 28 – see, and this is – it makes it difficult. You did say Nelson Cruz at 40, but just, is he a unicorn? You know, I just don't have a great recollection of that many guys who are able to continue to perform past 36 at a high level. You know, the advantage, of course, with the way baseball is going to go is once Mike Trout gets into the mid-30s, you're definitely going to have some youngins coming up, some younglings coming up that could fill that role in the outfield. And God, how long is Albert Pujols' contract? He's got like the longest contract ever.
I believe he's got 2 or 3 years left on it.
So, I mean, you know, he's, unless he gets traded somehow, which I really don't see happening unless he, you know, goes back to St. Louis for one of those old. Oh, no, we were both off, Big Jack. Next.
21 is the last year. Okay. I thought he had more than that, but it says here 2021. Okay. So they're only riding out
maybe
one more year still.
Yeah, I think it's maybe
probably.
We're thinking about like a second longest contract ever. So, I mean, you know, that DH position is going to be open. No, it's not going to be open because Ohtani's not going to be a pitcher, and that's going to be his role.
Right.
So, you know, and how long do they hang on him? So, I mean, it is interesting with the Angels because if you were – okay, I got to get out of the Angels because you said if I was building my team. It makes it hard. You know, I'd rather go with the youth and take my gamble that way. I roll the dice that way. But like I said, you know, once he hits 34, 35, you know, does he become a full-time DH?
So, yeah, you know, you know, and there's always the opportunity for him to, you know, move to a corner outfield position where, You know, it wouldn't. So there, you know, there's a lot of variables. You know, I mean, obviously the one thing that plays into Tatis's favor is it's probably more difficult to find top shortstops than it is outfielder, because obviously a lot more outfielders. You know, like I said, the most difficult part for this on anything is I just don't think we've seen enough of Tatis to be able to really even be making this comparison now, you know, because, I mean, you could go off and start grabbing any of these young players now and you'll start saying the same thing. So, you know, but I think we, you know, I would like to see a full year out of him before I kind of anoint him the next great player in baseball. You know, I mean, he's having a great year and he's going to get a lot of MVP consideration. You know, and he deserves it. He's playing fantastic. But, you know, let's see him get through a 162-game season healthy and, you know, all that other stuff before we start kind of putting him in the Hall of Fame like they like to do. So.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the other side of it is I did see that article. But, you know, like you mentioned, how can you really compare those two? I mean, the real comparison should be Mookie or Trout. I mean,
right?
You think about it. You literally in LA, you have the two top players for the entire league, and you're going to compare Mike Trout with Fernando Tatis because you know the Padres have had a nice run. I mean, I get it, but it's another one of those things where, you know, did that reporter, journalist, whatever you want to call him, just, you know, because of his deadline and his editor was like, we need something on the plate right now, go with this. You know, I mean.
Yeah, well, you know what it is. I mean, you know, the Padres are the hot name right now. They may have a move to the trade deadline. You know, everybody wants to talk about them. So, you know, I mean, you go and you look at the team and you go, oh, okay, well, this guy's their best player, you know, or at least for this year. Because, you know, to be fair, next year Manny could be the best player on that team. And, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, and I mean, they don't think about the fact that, well, the Dodgers are five games ahead of them in the standings. You know, that none of that stuff kind of equals in. It was just, San Diego's the hot team. We got to write about San Diego. What are we going to do? Okay, here's an idea for you. You know, stretch it out 10 years and compare them down the road. You know, because if you would have went five, I think Trout is the easy choice.
Oh, yeah.
But you go 10 and get Trout into those higher 30 years, and, it, you know, it becomes a little more difficult because, you know, Albert didn't age well. Miggy hasn't aged well. You got to wonder when Trout starts to get there, how is he going to age? So, you know, there's always, you know, always questions. And I really think you can make an argument for both sides. It just kind of, you know, it depends. Like I said, what you are you a gambler and you're going to take the young guy and hope it works out? Or you're going to take the guy that you know is, you know, rock solid, and this is what you're going to get out of them. So,
yeah, and to be honest, you know, when you want to start putting Tatis and, you know, the Padres being a hot team and you want to flip it over to the American League, I don't know. You know, this kind of hurts my fandom to actually say this out loud, but I don't really – I don't have a problem with that. I could be neutral. You know, Tatis should be being compared to – the White Sox. I mean, pick a guy right now. You know, you got a couple over there who are just hot stuff right now. I mean, this team is on fire. I don't want to admit it. They're doing great. You know, get beat up in Chicago if I'm on Round Cup fans saying that stuff. But, you know, uptight and out of shape. But, you know what I mean? I mean, you got Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, you know, I mean, this team is on fire right now, and you want to compare a hot team to a hot team. I think that would have been more of an advantageous article because, you know, don't get me wrong, you can't take away from Trout, but you also can't take anything out of the Angels because they're not doing anything.
Yeah, well, you know, the tough part with that is, you know, even though the as well as the White Sox are, have done, you know, they're not getting the kind of press the Padres are for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, my guess is because I think no matter how the White Sox do, you know, and to be all honest, you know, in complete honesty, even if they won the World Series this year and continued to be perennial contenders,
and won it next year,
like they would still be looked at as the second baseball team in Chicago.
Yeah, well, and
you know,
I don't know.
That's just how it goes. And I think that always kind of tarnishes people outside of Chicago's view of them.
But don't you think it's the AL Central is almost the, you know, throw them all out there, all the puns, the, you know, the redheaded stepchild of Major League Baseball. I mean, the only team that any ever gets any kind of coverage really is the Indians, except for when the Tigers had their run with Miggy and, you know, were just an amazing team. But, you know, the AL Central is probably the most forgotten division in baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of that was, I mean, you know, the Twins went through a rebuild, then the White Sox went through theirs, and now you got the Tigers and the Royals going through theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it kind of deserved to get beat up because, you know, let's face it, they were bad, and in some cases, you know, they're still going to be bad. I know, you know, in this season, it's so hard to judge because, you know, I listened to people all morning championing the Miami Marlins, and it's like, okay, great. You know, even if the Marlins get into the playoffs, do you honestly think they're winning a series? You know, and the only reason they're getting in is going to be because of the extended playoffs. You know, they're not going to win the East. They wouldn't have been a wild card in a real division. So, you know, this season you can literally throw it out the window. It really doesn't matter what happens here. You know, no matter who wins it, how they win it, what happens. Because, you know, we're going to see these odd things where the Marlins and the Orioles are playoff contenders. The Tigers have been playing great. If they can win a few more games in a row, they're back in the playoff picture. Now, I don't believe any of those teams are going to win a World Series, do you?
No, not at all.
But, you know, you get to talk about them because they're playoff contenders. So, you know, it's kind of the absurdity of this year is, you know, just kind of goofy, and, you know, we'll have to see.
Well, and, you know, the other thing about the AL Central, though, is this was like two years ago, maybe 3 years ago, they were bringing up all, you know, well, a list of teams that went to back-to-back World Series. Not winners, but went. And I'm reading this, watching it on TV, had to have been the MLB Network. And I'm like, how did you miss Kansas City? You know, 2014 and 2015.
Yeah.
They just completely went over it. And it was like, well, the Yankees did
yeah.
it this year and this year and this year, you know. So, I don't know. I think they always just get a bad rap, AL Central guys.
Well,
just get,
you know, you mentioned
out there
the other day that, you know, they did a rundown of World Series winners and forgot the White Sox. So, that's, you know, I mean, that just fits right in with forgetting the Royals went to the World Series back-to-back. So, you know, nobody, for whatever reason, nobody really pays attention to the division. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because they don't have that marquee team. You know, like in the East, you've got the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, out West, even though the Angels are bad, they're California. It's Los Angeles. So, you know, you kind of want to talk about that, you know. Then you roll over to the East, and, you know, the Braves have been good, but the Mets, again, are New York. So we're going to talk about New York. You got the Cubs, who are, you know, the top team in Chicago baseball-wise. And, you know, then you roll out to the NL West, and the Dodgers are the best freaking team in baseball, bar none. So, you know, everybody kind of has that marquee team or city, except for kind of the AL Central. And you wonder if maybe that's it. And, I mean, you know, obviously there's nothing wrong with Kansas City, Detroit, Minnesota, or Chicago. You know, silence Cleveland out there. But, you know, it's just not, you know, it's not something that jumps out at you or anything like that. And you wonder if, you know, that's the reason, because you can't make a name for yourself by talking about any of it.
Well, yeah, and that's true. I mean, I was going to say, do you think that's what makes it hard, though, is, I don't know, when you think about the era of baseball that you grew up with and that I kind of grew up with to a certain extent, you know, your local team was the team, obviously, and, you know, you got to watch, you know, you and I were lucky. We had a couple different markets because of our locations and the superstations. You know, to view other teams, but for the most part, you were stuck to your local team. And I don't know. I guess it's hard trying to figure out what was the major difference in how scouting and, you know, the whole game went along, you know, with the 70s, 80s, where how different it is today, where it seems like, you know, and maybe it's because of, you know, youth sports being much more popular and you learn about these guys a lot earlier. That makes a huge difference because, I mean, you know, and you think about the great teams, just all the teams, you know, the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, everybody, every city you go to, they're going to talk about their team and these guys. You know, the Cubs have Ernie Banks and Ron Santo and company, and then you go to the White Sox and it's Millie Minoso and, you know, Harold Baines, who's still with the organization. You know, the Pirates were a great one. You know, all the teams kind of have their key guys, where today, you know, I don't feel like all 30 teams have a guy that's, you know, talked about all the time. Where you look at those older eras and everyone had like the star player, everyone had star players. You know, I mean, we could sit here probably an entire hour and then run out of time just listing off, you know, great players from each team.
Yeah, you know, you think maybe the internet is the cause of that, because, you know, there's so much more exposure now, you know, because like you mentioned, you know, depending on what your setup was, you had to watch your local team. That's all you had, your local team and who they're playing, you know, and like the big excitement was, you know, when they added like Monday Night Baseball and you got the two different teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, all you had to focus on was your team. Well, now you mentioned, you know, like we were joking around that you could, you know, stream that game. You know, in reality, you and I and anybody else who has the, you know, the ability can watch any game they want to anytime it's on. So, you know, it kind of opened up the whole world to you instead of just being, you know, penciled into, hey, my team's on. I got to go watch the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we're kind of going back and forth over, you know, why was it Tatis, you know, versus Trout as opposed to Tatis versus any other team with a young player on their team that's playing pretty big and hot. And, you know, I think part of that is all because of, you know, I'm not going to blame Twitter totally, but, you know, Twitter. When you think about it, Twitter, you know, like you said, the internet, because it's all about what's trending.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can go on Twitter and there's that trending, you know, and then if you hashtag with that trending thing, you know, that's a day where you can get, you know, 100 people liking your thing. And you're like, all I did was say fart, you know, but you hashtagged it with a trending topic and, you know, somehow it worked in and everyone thought it was funny, you know. Your boy Kevin Pillar is doing pretty well right now with the Rockies.
Oh, I didn't start him today. I wasn't sure if he was playing.
he just hit a triple. I got another update from him a little while ago. But, you know, and I think that's one of the things is, you know, like you said, it's easier to put Tatis up against Trout because as far as, you know, Google goes and their, you know, trending topics and, you know, search engine optimization, or people are going to click on that probably before they click on a Tatis versus Luis Robert, where everyone's going, who? Except for you and I.
How about Tatis versus Juan Soto? You know, that could be quite the discussion then. So,
yeah. You
know, but I get it. And, you know, Trout's the best player in the game, so you don't want to, you know, you want to make it seem like Tatis is the second best player in the game. So, I understand the kind of the semantics behind it. I think it was, you know, as of right now, I'm not saying he won't get there, but as of right now, I think it's a little much to ask Tatis to be Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Let's give him a full year before we start, you know, carving his plaque for Cooperstown. But all right, well, here, you know, Dan, you mentioned, you know, when I was talking about how nobody wants to watch the Cubs, that they are in first place. What's unfortunate, Dan, is my issue with the Cubs is I don't believe the team has a killer instinct. You know, I honestly believe they're just very complacent. And unfortunately, they're only 3 games ahead of the Cardinals right now. Because the Cardinals have actually played decent coming out of their COVID-19 break. And that's when, the Cubs really should have put the division away, and they were unable to. Unfortunately, today, Jose Quintana goes back on the DL with a left lat. Yeah, they called it left lat inflammation. I have that too, but they call me fat. So I don't know the difference there. So we'll have to see how long he's out. So that now means there's no Quintana for 10 days. Tyler Chatwood is probably done for the year. So that leaves the Cubs with a starting rotation of Yu Darvish, who's been fantastic, no doubt about it, probably an NL Cy Young contender. Kyle Hendricks, who's been a little bit up and down. John Lester, you could say the same thing about. Then you're looking at Alec Mills and probably Colin Ray. Not exactly the back end of the rotation I'm going to get excited about, Dan. In trouble, not in trouble? How are you feeling about the Cubs not being far enough ahead of you?
Well, I mean, I don't know what you're so worried about. They just picked up, like, 4 relief pitchers who – combined have like a 35 ERA.
Right. So, well, you know, you can't hold against that one guy. He hasn't been to the major in 2 years. So, no. But yeah, you know, that's always my biggest concern with the team is it just feels like they don't know how to put people away. You know, and eventually this kind of thing catches up with you. And, you know, all of a sudden, hey, here are the Cardinals knocking on the door.
Like every year.
Yeah.
Well, oh, my God.
You know, and obviously, they have to be smart enough to not let the Brewers back in. I mean, they're 3 under 500, but they're only 5 games back. So, you know, they've got to be able to put them away as well.
Yeah, well, and you know it's bad when local radio and not sports radio, just your FM dial, older people radio, when they give the sport update, they go, well, the Cubs, Cubs won last night, but they came back when they almost blew it. You know, when you got guys who aren't really covering sports talking about how you're blowing it, but you luckily came back, it's not always a great sign.
No, they've got 2 more games in Pittsburgh that they really need to win, you know, before they have this very, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, they got the 5-game series with St. Louis, you know, the game on Friday, the doubleheader Saturday, and then the wraparound on Sunday, Monday, you know, those are going to play out to be big-time important games, Dan, because that's the last time the Cubs actually face the Cardinals for the rest of the season. So, you know, that's a series. You know, in reality, they really need to win that series 4-1 and show their dominance over the Cardinals. But I know the Cubs, they'll be lucky to win the game series 3-2, or I wouldn't be surprised if they lose it 2-3. Because, again, that's just what this team is. You know, so I don't know. But, you know, other than that, I mean, they're coming down the stretch. They're going to get a little bit of a tough schedule here because of the way things were set up. You know, the East plays the East, the Central plays the Central, and the West plays the West. You know, that means in the final, you know, the final, what, 14 days or 12 days here, Dan, the Cubs will see the Indians for 2, the Twins for 3, and then they end their season with the White Sox in a 3-game series. All three of those teams are going to be looking for playoff spots. So it's not going to be easy peasy down the stretch for these guys. And I got to tell you, Dan, in all honesty, I'm worried about them choking away first place and a playoff spot.
And so, whose fault would it be? You know, Rossi's?
You know, tell me I'm wrong and that they, you know, they're going to, you know, get their heads out of their you-know-what and play like the team they should be, even instead of this kind of odd, I can't seem to finish off teams type of team.
Well, and is it if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. So is that, you know, I mean, Anthony Rizzo put that out there already. You know, that's something that's weighing on them. You know, a lot of them, because they don't know. And you've got to pack that away. You can't think about that. You've just got to go out there, do your job. And, you know, and it sucks. I think you grow up, well, let's just put it in terms of baseball and with the organization, what they have going on. You grow up with these guys, coming up with them, you know, except for Rizzo, because, you know, he followed with Jed from, you know, Boston to San Diego and then, you know, straight to starting for the Cubs. So he didn't really, you know, go into their minor league organization unless for, you know, whatever reason he had a rehab assignment, which I don't even remember Rizzo doing any rehab assignments in the minors anywhere. But, you know, that's either here nor there. But you pretty much got this core group of guys who've all come up together. They grew up with this team together. And maybe that was one of the negatives of having all these guys come up together is maybe they're a little bit more attached to each other. You know, because I cannot see, let's just say everybody that, you know, we love on this team, their contract's all up at the end of this year. Let's just, you know, hypothetically speaking, except for Jason Hayward, but every one of them, if they're not signing with the Cubs, we know they're going to play ball. If it's not in this uniform, they're going to be in baseball. And I guess it kind of sucks, but you know, you got to take that out of your mental and just play the game. And I, you know, obviously we can't say for sure that that's, you know, an issue for them, but you know, when a guy who's supposed to be the leader of the team expresses a feeling like that, you've got to think maybe that is something that's weighing on them and they're all a little nervous about not being on this team again and what their future is going to look like.
See, humorously there, Dan, you just proved my point without me having to go into any really more detail. There's absolutely no reason they should be worrying about next year when they're in first place and have an opportunity to get into the playoffs and win the World Series. That should be the farthest concern from their mind right now, and that just proves to me that this team is mentally incapable of winning. Bottom line, that's it. You know, because, A, you're a baseball player, you should be playing baseball. All right? B, you know, if you've had any length of career, you've made plenty of money to never have to play again if you don't want to. If you only want to play for the Cubs and the Cubs don't want to bring you back, retire and go find something else to do. All right? Now, obviously, that's not what's going to happen to these guys, but, you know, they could walk away at any time. They've made millions upon millions of dollars, and if they're anywhat financially responsible, they can live out the rest of their lives comfortably without any issues. So, you know, I mean, that's plain and simple. I mean, you know, maybe Chris Bryant shouldn't be worried about where he's going to be playing next year, and he should concentrate on maybe trying to stay healthy and not hitting a buck 91. You know, that would probably help out his cause of where he's going to play and what that next contract is going to look like down the line. So, you know, it's just, again, it's just a ridiculous situation with a team that is just not going to be able to close the deal when it gets there. And it's just so sad because you're looking at so much wasted talent. You know, that you don't even know where to start. I mean, the group of guys that are put together here, and, you know, if they weren't smart enough to realize that they all weren't going to be staying together unless some of them were willing to take big pay cuts, then they have other problems there because it's a business and they can't pay everybody $300 million. And, you know, and if they didn't know that, then what's the problem there, Dan? You know, it's got nothing to do with, you know, let's face it. So, yeah, again, like I said, I mean, you just proved my point. This team is not mentally capable of winning in a big situation. You know, well, and I'm sorry, that's just what it is.
And I think your point is definitely valid because while, you know, you and I may place less value on a championship this year, this is the only season in Major League Baseball where literally every game counts. And every series, doesn't matter if you're playing the worst, doesn't matter if you're the Cubs going up against the bottom dweller. I forgot who we threw out there the other day, the Pirates of all teams, but this is still a big series. No matter what series you go into, it's a big series, and it means more, especially after the off days and the COVID issue, shutdown days. So, like you said, if you can't perform in a big situation, then maybe you don't deserve it. And it's hard to say because you look at this team, and there was so much excitement coming into 2015. You know, Uncle Bob, oh, Dan the Man, wouldn't you prefer having a dynasty-type team that makes the playoffs every year? I'm like, well, yeah, but, you know, we're totally not going to spend money. And then you go blow a shitload of money on a guy you released 2 years later as a pitcher. Wink, wink. But, you know, not to beat a dead horse that bad. You know, and then you kind of watch this team grow up, and then you're wondering, with all this talent, I mean, you've got a College Series MVP, Rookie of the Year, MVP, to go down to, you know, a guy batting a buck 50. You've got the young kid on your team who's supposed to be the reincarnation of Babe Ruth. And then, that's not really panning out. And, you know, maybe he's the reincarnation of what Babe Ruth would have been in this game today, as opposed to what the game was in the time period he was in. You know? So it's I don't know. I think it's kind of hard to kind of watch this team not be at the level that they should be. And then it kind of goes to the thing I kind of thought about a lot is, you know, one of the things Theo did was he put the youth, you know, the bats in the youth. And then Kyle Hendricks, the youngest pitcher on the team, so to speak, but then, you know, sprinkled in more veteran pitching. And now with the balance being so far off, you end up with a youthful position players where they're all coming up on the same terms, you know, all at the same time. So where you're tied, you can't re-sign everybody. We all know that. It's, you know, as plain as glass, or however you want to say, clear as glass. Do you think that was I don't want to say a grave mistake, but kind of a bad move in retrospect?
Well,
as opposed to trying to mix it up a little more.
Yeah, the odd thing with it is they're not all coming up at the same time and not next year. You know, that's the strange thing about it. Like Rizzo, you know, while Rizzo, you know, they'd have to pick up his club option. Of course they're going to do that. You know, Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber still have that last year of arbitration. So we're in reality, we're an entire season away from that. So we're concerned with 2 years in the future about not being able to play together. You know, because that's when Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber all hit free agency. Why are we looking 2 years down the road? You know, I mean, you know, the Dodgers have free agents coming up. You got Justin Turner, your guy Kiki, and Jock Peterson. Do you think any one of those damn guys are wondering where they're going to be playing next year? I doubt it. They're probably wondering about if they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference between winning teams and what the Cubs are. Yes, they're a winning team record-wise, but they're nowhere near what they've nowhere near accomplished what they should have accomplished. So, you know, I mean, so yeah, to look at it, oh well, my friends. What about my friends who? It doesn't matter for another entire year. I mean, is there a chance that one of them will be gone next year? Yeah, probably. But that's the game. I mean, you know, Dan, when you graduated from college or when you graduated from high school and your friends all went different ways and you didn't see them anymore, did you move in with them so you could be closer?
No.
You know, I mean, I know you sat out in front of that girl's house for a while, but that's a whole – I mean, no, wait a minute. I mean, it's not like – just because somebody's wearing another uniform, especially in today's game, doesn't mean you're no longer friends with them. It just means you're no longer playing together. And again, you know, say Chris Bryant doesn't get traded, you know, and the Dodgers acquire him because Justin Turner's a free agent and he's 37, he decides to retire. Well, you know, after the 2021 season, if Anthony Rizzo misses playing with Chris Bryant so much, Danny's a free agent. That means he can sign with any team he wants to. Go sign with the Dodgers. You can play with Chris Bryant again. How difficult is it? Am I the stupid one? I guess is what I'm trying to figure out here. You know, am I the moron, or are these guys just really overlooking things?
I think you're right, and it kind of shows like the attitude that you have right now is more a little bit more reflective of other mature Cub fans, and I don't mean that in an age sense. I mean that in the fact that you're technically not a Cub fan, but you know your interest roots in Chicago. But as a mature fan, like myself and some other people, we can accept enjoying watching our team, and we don't have an issue with saying, oh, yeah, the White Sox are doing well right now. They're exciting to watch. Kind of an immature fan, and I'm going to take a lot of heat for this one, are the ones that are, you know, the ultra diehards and suck, you know, Yankees suck. You know, there's always those haters. And I get it, and I'm not saying it's wrong. That's just a level of maturity. And maybe that's the wrong word to use, and you can get offended by it, but that's the state of this world today. Everyone's offended by everything. But, you know, that's kind of the talk I've heard. And it kills me, too, when, you know, it's not just you. When you hear the local guys who love the Chicago Cubs and are sitting there on, you know, the radio going, did you see the White Sox game last night? Yeah, our Cubs are still in front, but did you see the White Sox? You know, and that's where, I mean, there's the big difference. And when you hear those guys kind of pointing that out, too, you're like, you know, how can you really say what you're feeling is wrong, too? You know what I mean? So it's kind of unfortunate. I really was hoping, like Uncle Bob had told us, was that once Theo was done, that this team was going to be in the playoffs every single year. And, yeah, it sucks. It sucks if you're a Dodger fan and you've been waiting since 2013 for that World Series title. And then it sucks even more when you got kicked in the junk when you found out that, you know, 2 years they were, you know, the cheaters won and you lost.
Yeah.
And that, you know, possibly took away MVPs from, you know, Clayton Kershaw and company. That sucks even more. But I would have liked that. I would have liked to have seen the Chicago Cubs go to the LCS every year. If they lost to the Dodgers, oh, well, so be it. You literally would have had the two best National League teams in baseball playing at the time. But when you go from runner-up to getting into the World Series, you know, when you're two, you know, when it's early, and then the next year you win the World Series, but then the next year you lose in the playoffs, and then the next year you lose a 163rd game, and then you lose the one-card wild-card game, and then the next year you don't make the playoffs. You know, that's just disappointment. And I think you're feeling it too, because even though they're in first place, they're still on that, seemingly on that decline.
Yeah, you know, and again, I mean, it's not that I dislike the Cubs or I don't root for the Cubs. You know, I want to see them do good. I want to see the Sox do good. They're just, you know, neither are my favorite teams because of some odd coincidences with my family that we don't need to get into. But, yeah, I, you know, I mean, and that, you know, but my big issue with the team is, you know, they just don't, you know, they don't know how to put people away. You know, I mean, when you have somebody beat, you know, kind of like last night, they had the Pirates beat, and they let them back in the game, and they almost lost it. You don't let a team like the Pirates back in the game with you. You stand, you know, and the old term is you step on the neck. You put them away. No questions asked, but this isn't that Cubs team. And, you know, maybe the nature of sports in general where everybody's friend and, you know, you vacation together and you hang out together no matter who you play for, how your team does, you know, that I think that kind of inhibits your killer instinct, doesn't it, Dan? Because, you know, I mean, like, obviously I've punched you in the face before, but never in real life. And, like, if it came down to it, I couldn't do it because you're my friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you think that inhibits it a little, the nature, the kind of buddy-buddy nature of sports now?
I think so because, you know, the other side of it is the sensitivity. You know, I mean, two friends are best friends and until they fight it out and then something happens. You know, it takes me back to the days when I was in high school and our neighborhood had one of the last full-court basketball courts around. And, you know, this was so taboo. The white kids would play there in their neighborhood and the black kids would come over. Oh my God. You know, and everyone thought this was like this bad thing. And no, we all got along. We all played against each other. You know, I had the guys from the other team knocking me on my ass, you know, whatever happened. But you know who got in fights? It was friends. It wasn't the two different groups of people. You know, it wasn't like, oh, the black kids versus the white kids. It wasn't like that. You know, who got in a fight? The two guys on the same damn team because you didn't pass the ball soon enough or you held on to the ball too much.
Oh.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with being friends with everybody, like you said, but at some point you got to take that away once that, you know, for us, when that bell rang, we weren't friends.
You know, at least not for those 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget to Twitter people, Sports Time Radio, Sports Game Man,